Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 159, featuring Justin Gobyfields and Dan Thron. And some of you probably already know what this podcast is about because you've been asking me to release it, which I am now. Actually, I'm just doing part one of this, but let's explain it a little bit. Back in episode number 156, Dan Thron, David Tracy, and I, we all got together because we wanted to talk about The Last Jedi and thought it would be, you know, something we wanted to discuss. And Dan Thron and I had very mixed feelings about it. David seemed to like it. But what we found out over time is that this particular movie is very... there's a lot of division between people who really like it and people who don't like it at all. And it could be generational, I'm not sure. But it was a really interesting idea, and one of the people that was very much in defense and thinks it's a great movie is a good friend of mine, Justin, who I know through THU. We're old THU buddies, and we're old tribe guys. And so I saw, you know, I saw some of his posts on Facebook about it, and I said, you know what? I think that we need to give another voice to this debate about the Last Jedi. So we went ahead and recorded a podcast with Justin. Now, the only problem was that because, as you can imagine, the conversation is very heated, it ended up being a 3-hour conversation about a 2-hour movie. So, anyway, it's a really good conversation. And so I decided I was going to split it into two podcasts. I normally don't do that, just release the whole thing, but 3 hours just seems really long. So I made it into two parts. This is going to be part one. And then in a few weeks, I'll release part two. And I hate to drag it out with you guys. But I think I found a good sort of pause point in this. And you guys should be able to enjoy the rest of the podcast. As far as announcements, I should note that I am actually recording this podcast intro in our Sophia office. I have I've been here for a few days. I am hanging out with all the guys, and I am, you know, planning for 2018 and all the cool things we're going to be doing in 2018. So it's actually a really good time here. It's cold. It's not like LA. There's snow on the ground. Definitely not like LA. And but I'm having a really cool time. The people here are enormously fun and a lot of great things going on. The other thing I should let you know, while I was here, and some of you may be interested in this, V-Ray 4 Rhino 3.6 is out. And you're saying, okay, well, whatever, 3.6. Well, there's a lot of great things in 3.6. So if you guys are V-Ray for Rhino guys, you should definitely go check it out. So go to chaoscoop.com and check out the new updates on 3.6. But for everyone else, I would also recommend going to 3.6 because there's an interesting little thing, at least a little teaser, in the video that we did. And if you go to the watch the whole video of all the new features in 3.6 for Rhino, you'll notice that there is at the end a little cloud button that happens when you render, or an option to go to a little cloud. And that's going to be very interesting. So I would highly recommend all you V-Ray 3.6 Rhino guys to click on that and figure it out. And I'm going to try to see if I can get Boris to hang out with me and do a podcast so we can talk a little bit more about that. But it should be pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, guys. Hopefully you will enjoy this podcast with Justin and Dan Thron to talk about, you know, The Last Jedi. Again, people seem to like it. So I hope you enjoy this one too. All right. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fernell.
I should give people a little bit of a backstory of why we're doing this again, talking about Last Jedi. Because we kind of, I'm going to go back in history and try to go through this as fast as possible. So we've been talking about Star Wars, Dan and I, for years, years and years. And we're both big fans. But he is really an amazingly, like, really, really into it and has a lot of really interesting knowledge and a great take that I find very unique in terms of the Star Wars saga. But he and I both were born in 1971, which is part of this story, right?
The old manness.
The old manness. So we were both born in 1971, and we have this idea of what it was. Then the new, you know, obviously the prequels came out and everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah. That was generally
we can generally be okay about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But then J.J. Abrams comes out with New Hope. Not New Hope. Sorry. Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan and I feel a little bit differently about this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So Dan generally feels like I'm tired of this all. Stuff, a very common reaction, actually, not so uncommon reaction from some people. And me, I'm like, yes, I agree, but I'm really curious about these new characters. These new characters seem very interesting to me, and I'm very, very hopeful about this. So we've had a discussion about this on the podcast before. Then the new one's coming out. The Last Jedi is coming out. And so we're like, all right, new director, this is going to be interesting. We are both very, very excited about it. I said, we got to go see it, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to do it as soon as possible because it's going to be hot news. We need to.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd's going to want to see us. He goes to see it. I haven't seen it yet. He Facebooked me back and says, I walked out. I was like, what?
It's true. Oh, I can't believe you walked out on this. I really can't.
And then I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I'm going to see it. I was like, but remember, we have to do a podcast about this. You may have to go back and finish this thing.
And I do want to interject that, like, I haven't walked out of a movie in probably 15 years.
Right.
Like, I don't do that. I think it's rude, and I don't.
Sure.
I don't, because, or at least, you know, if it's a, it's not rude if it's like, you know, you and five other guys.
Right.
It's, but if it's a packed house and you have to make a big, sweaty deal out of getting out of the theater, then you can sit there. But I couldn't sit there.
Right.
the only movie I walked out on, I believe, was Highlander 2.
That's understandable, though.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
I think that clears the bar. I mean, like, I think it's more, it's like, I sat and watched I don't know, the entirety of Ultraviolet in the theater.
Oh,
and
you
shouldn't do that. Like, it turns out that there's a medical thing at the end of the film saying,
I believe you have cancer now.
See a specialist. It's very serious.
It's okay. All right. But anyway, so that happened and we went through it and he did watch it a second time and you did see it again.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded a podcast about it. And then I started seeing your posts on Facebook. And Justin, first of all, I was like,
the crusader for it's a good movie. Yeah.
Hold on. You don't have to be a crusader. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Is that you were making a specific point. And during the course of the podcast that you and I recorded together, I started to realize, like, there is a gap of knowledge or generations or concepts or ideas that are happening between what Justin is feeling and what we are feeling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's clear just in the last few weeks how divided the house has become.
Really fascinating, isn't it?
Yep. Yes. That's the point.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and I'm not necessarily
steep.
Saying like, that you are right or I'm wrong. I'm just like, I'm just curious why that is there. And how, because we are sort of certainly in a generation where there's people that like are divided about ideas, but this is Star Wars.
So
what are your thoughts, Justin?
And I have not read your post. I want to come into this as like as fresh as possible. I didn't want to like prep an argument or anything like that.
So you know, I throw the term out there, fanboy, very loosely, because I do work in the industry, and I do eventually would love to work on a Star Wars film. But you know, they tend to not hire the fanatics for you know, exactly the same reason that any other company wouldn't want to do that, you know, or whatever. So I totally understand a lot of that. Now, I went and saw The Force Awakens 14 times in the theater.
Holy smokes! Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And not because it's that great of a movie. It's literally because Star Wars is the reason I wanted to work in this industry.
Oh yeah, I totally.
And it's like 90% of us, right? You know, like
very common.
Yeah,
very common.
It's electrifying to see that stuff up on the screen.
Oh, like, and even amazing. Just to be a part of it is life changing to certain people as well as, you know, a lifelong dream. You know, I just finished watching an interview by Gareth Edwards.
Right.
And, you know, like, it was like an hour long talk in the very beginning. He brought it all the way back to the original quote that he originally said, which was, when I grow up, I want to be in the Rebel Alliance and I want to blow up the Death Star.
Right on.
Right.
And he go, you know, his whole career path. And then he ended it with, and then I got to be a part of the Rebel Alliance and blow up the Death Star. You know what I mean? And you're like,
it really gets
hell
you,
yeah,
absolutely.
It gets you. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I want to say that I've studied Star Wars for so long, you know, and after like the second or third viewing, you know, I'm taking note of exactly what Force Awakens is. And I don't think that it's any less of a movie by calling it this, but it is absolutely a reboot. It's absolutely a reboot.
For sure.
And a
for
lot
sure.
of us can all understand that.
The Force
that,
Awakens
know.
Is.
Yeah.
The Force Awakens is.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can take that into the consideration of like...
Now, okay. Now, let's think about the term reboot.
Reboot, yeah.
Okay. Define that.
In my opinion, I think Force Awakens... You know, because a lot of people don't like the term reboot or remake or anything like that. I think it's the best remake we've ever seen. Because to the average fan, they can call out certain things, but what they're not even realizing is, like, if I asked you who is Finn from the original trilogy, who would you say?
Han Solo, I suppose. I'm not sure.
C-3PO.
He's C-3PO. Interesting.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay. Where's that? Hit it.
He's modern.
Uh-huh.
He says what the audience is thinking at all times.
Right. Right.
And he leads you comedically from scene to scene.
Yeah, okay. That I totally
that is
agree
that
with
is
you.
Yeah,
that
you know what I mean? Like that is the essence of C-3PO in the original picture, trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I do when I go see it multiple times like that in the theater, is I go, how do you take these old archetypes and switch them up? Like, and I also think that, you know, a lot of Star Wars fans will probably hate me for this, but to say that,
first of all, that don't say that, because that's the whole that's the thing that's why you're here, right?
Yeah.
I mean that I want that perspective. I want that fresh perspective on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To bring it up.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I think that, you know, Star Wars: A New Hope, you know, and I hope that this doesn't bar me from ever, you know, getting work in the industry for this. I don't, you know, like, I love George Lucas, and I love what he did. But to say that he had a whole universe planned out based on A New Hope is, you're full of shit.
0% true. Yeah, exactly.
0% true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
It, you know what I mean? Like
he was winging it. He was absolutely winging it. Yeah.
He was absolutely winging it. You know, you got the Leia Luke love line. You know what I mean? The triangle that was kind of there, but then it wasn't there because of his beautiful editing, you know, because of his wife and all that stuff. So I look at it like this. The true original trilogy, in my opinion, he was never prepared for what it became.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that this is what they're doing cleverly, is they're taking what worked, they're throwing away what didn't, and now they're redoing the exact same trilogy, in a sense, but setting it up proper. For a legitimate extended universe cinematically.
Right. So like, it's more functional, and everybody, like, you can everybody can be on board this thing. And
it kills the Leia Luke thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you really want to think about it, it kills that. You move on. It honors them.
Yep.
Totally. But it moves on.
Right.
The new movies are designed to do this thing and this thing only.
Right.
Pass the torch.
Right.
That's all they're meant for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm sure we're all bummed that we didn't get to see a Han, Luke, meet up before that they, you know, he passed on or whatever. But like, I really think that they're playing it smart. I think that they're setting things up really well, and I think that a lot of the disgruntledness, oh, I can't believe they did this with Luke and yada yada, you know, all that kind of stuff. Can you, like, and I don't remember because I was very little, you know. I was alive when Empire Strikes Back was in the theaters. I saw it in the drive-thru. I don't remember much.
Right.
But I would love to see what people were saying after that. Because you got to realize, even at that point, like, I don't even remember in the original cut, did it say that there was going to be another one?
A what?
Did it say that there was going to be a Return of the Jedi?
In the original release, I don't think so. It's strongly implied by the story that there is. But, I have very strong feelings about Return of the Jedi in particular, which is when I'm off the Star Wars train.
Like, right.
Star Wars and Empire are great, and I'll tighten this up so the audience doesn't have to, if they've listened to the first part of this podcast.
Actually, we can plug your YouTube channel.
Oh yeah, a friend of mine and I, Mark, have been putting together a YouTube channel, and the first episode of this is called Photon in a Frame. Mm. And the first thing that we attack is Return of the Jedi in a four-part sequence.
Right.
The super short sum up of that is my Star Wars love affair ended with Empire Strikes Back. Like, that's a great film. It's one of the best films I've ever seen. And then Return of the Jedi is one of the greatest disappointments of my whole film going life.
Like, wow.
It was unbelievable. Oh, I was utterly devastated by how terrible that movie was. And I was off the Star Wars train wholesale.
But there's Ghostbusters. I mean, the Ghost. Oh, God.
We
could be here all day.
Yeah, no. This is the way we roll. But I completely agree with your how you're setting it up.
Yeah.
But I agree that what Force Awakens Last Jedi does is deeply necessary. And cuz the baggage of Star Wars could fill Union Station. It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And so much all the fan crazy blah 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 and like all the stuff in the extended universe and everything doesn't work together and all this kind of jazz and worship of these original characters and when I went into say episode one of Lucas's new trilogy, like it was obviously terrible. And it was obviously terrible. Everyone around me, we kept on trying to tell me how great it was, and everyone was just like, no, you don't understand, it's really, really good. Yeah. I'm like, no, I think it's actually really very bad. Like, it's incredibly bad. Mm-hmm. But I said it then, I'll say it now. Like, I still think it's original. Like, it's
not, very different.
It's very different and not what I expected at all. I was happy to not see any of the old Star Wars stuff in it. And, they're terrible movies. That's the end of my big defense of those movies. They are bad.
Have you had a chance to see, I don't know who did it, but someone made, it's called Episode 1.5.
Hmm.
And I have it, and I can get it to you.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful editing. It's a 3-hour long cut of all three movies.
Okay, and you know, I did see, this is the one where they dubbed Jar Jar with a regular sounding alien accent, right? Where
they cut him out. Yeah.
Some version of this.
Yeah.
And it cuts down to a kind of stodgy, slightly dull movie, but it's you can see the story now.
You can see the story.
Right.
It flows so much better.
So much better. Totally.
They even added scenes that were taken out that would have made more sense for the whole Anakin, Padme story. But that's, you know, one of those things that's very, very clever. And also, like, once you watch it, you realize, that Jar Jar is the cause of everything.
Oh, he's the disaster of the
entire... It's his vote that puts the Emperor in power. It's his vote that regulates everything. Yeah. And then you're just like, you know that fan theory where they're like, I think Jar Jar was a Sith. And you're like,
he's derailing the entire process.
I'm not totally saying no to that, you know.
I believe that's true. I believe that actually, you know, that makes a lot more sense.
But it also comes back to the, you know, like a lot of the prophecy and in some of the comments that I were getting on Facebook when I was defending it. You know, I had one guy even say, you know, he's just like, well, this totally threw away everything. Luke is no longer the chosen one. And I was like, whoa. Luke was never the chosen one.
No, he never was.
I can clarify that immediately.
His father was.
Right. The prophecy just went in the other direction. Right. And he did bring balance to the Force.
And I have
because there was too many Jedi.
I have to say one of the very great things. I have a lot of good things to say about Last Jedi. Yeah. I don't have a lot of good things to say about Force Awakens. Like Force Awakens is like, I can't say, I just don't have a lot to say about it. Like there's nothing, it's a nothing movie. It's really beautifully executed. And Abrams is an incredibly talented director, and he knows how to stage an action scene, knows how to make it look good. And he evokes the feeling of Star Wars, but what they were trying to do, like what they were attempting was to create, like a toy catalog, you know, whether the toys are new movies or the toys are new toys to sell, whatever it is.
I totally agree with you on that point, but I also, my rebuttal with that would be is, so is the original trilogy.
Yeah, well, yes, but there's a difference.
I mean,
because like
the trilogy was only starting to be about toys by the time it got to Return of the Jedi.
Are you sure? There's a great documentary on Netflix right now called The Toys That Made Us.
Right.
And it talks about the financial,
right, and
everything
and
before the movie came out.
Yeah. In making Star Wars, and he became more aware of it as he was going through a disastrous divorce and all sorts of other stuff, and he was trying to essentially separate the toy rights away from, you know, his ex-wife and all this other crazy. I fact check all everything I'm saying. This is the stories that I've heard. But certainly he's very aware of that. And I don't think that's bad. I think that's totally fine. Well, I think that the core problem of, say, Force Awakens is essentially the same core problem of Return of the Jedi, which is like, it's totally fine to sell toys. That's part of the business. That's not a problem. But
one would argue that is the business.
That's that's how you butter the bread, man. Yeah. That's how it works. However, the reason why toys are meaningful, you know, is because the movie is good.
Right? Very true.
And it was really, there's a moment in Last Jedi, which I, in a meta way, love and really respect. In an execution way, I don't think they did it right.
Are you okay there, buddy?
We're drinking Dalwhinnie tonight.
Excuse me.
It's a little bit peppery.
Don't choke on your ambitions.
But like,
all right, sorry. Go back to what you were saying.
There's this thing that I think we have brought it up on other podcasts. This concept I had in mind called what I call the lightsaber problem, right?
Okay.
And they handle, in Force Awakens, I was actually sort of thrilled to see them agree with me on this. Not Force Awakens, rather. Last Jedi, I keep on mixing them up. And that's that in Star Wars, when Obi-Wan Kenobi gives Luke the lightsaber, it's a very powerful scene. Like, everything starts to connect, right? You're like, all the hopes that the kid is feeling, all the history that's bearing down on him, and all the responsibility of he's about to grow up, you know?
Yeah, it's the Excalibur moment.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a meaningful scene. The object itself, the lightsaber, is imbued with the meaning of that scene, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why lightsabers are emotionally powerful concepts.
Yeah. Right? As a toy.
And when you can see throughout the later movies, especially becomes lightsaber porn in friggin' episodes 1 through 3.
It's like
dance festival with lightsabers, and they're meaningless because their idea is just like, man, those lightsabers are really meaningful. Maybe if we have 50 of them, it's going to be super emotional. I'm like, no, it's not. Yeah. It's just a toy. And so when you reduce a meaningful event, when you encode a meaningful event into an object and then use that object for another meaningful event, that's good.
Right.
When you use it expecting a meaningful event because of what the object is, it has to be part of something. It can't just be a thing.
Correct.
Like, you can't just like show, like Force Awakens is like, and here's the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what?
Like, oh, you didn't like the intro? I love the intro. I didn't even see it coming the first time.
It's not a part of a meaningful event. So it doesn't like, it would serve as a multiplier for me if it were in the context of a story that I cared about. Right. So like seeing the Millennium Falcon, if I'm already caught up in this story and this puts a spin on it that changes how the story is happening for me, then that's one thing. Right.
I'm going to go with Justin on this, because I actually did like the introduction to Millennium Falcon. That was a really interesting way to introduce it.
It's clever.
It was clever.
Right.
But then it got to like, oh, like it magically finds its way back to Chewbacca and Han like, Solo. But I want to step back to something we said probably about 10 minutes ago, because I let you guys go for a little bit.
Sure.
There's something that was like, you guys said a very good point about like the amount of baggage that's involved in this, right? And that is the problem. And
we talked about how do you clear the slate?
How do you clear the slate and move forward? Because part of what I feel like is that it's exactly that. It's like going to the train station, you said Union Station as an example, right? It's like filling it with baggage.
Like, get on the damn train and be free.
But it was like,
don't wait for all
what
the rest
I
of
felt
it.
Like was, and for both movies, by the way, I felt both for Last Jedi and Force Awakens, it's, I am constantly being thrown in my face. It's like, is this your bag? Do you like this one? No, you don't like that one? Okay, don't worry. I got another one. Do you like this one? Like, is this the thing that made your childhood happy?
Here's another, constantly trying to tell me
something that was like, no, I just give me a story that makes sense.
Yeah, the nostalgia is a powerful thing.
But it's not a story all by itself. Like, that's the problem.
In a sense. So what I, you know, I agree with what you're saying. And, you know, I totally equate the whole point of we all know about the hero's journey.
Yeah.
And those of us that work in the industry and we do all this kind of behind the scenes, we see everything for what it is. Right. And I think that people that work in the industry are ultra precise on the things that they don't like. Mm-hmm. Right. But in my eyes, you know, like as far as the story goes, the beginning of the story is the Millennium Falcon, because otherwise there's no escape from Jakku, right? And in my opinion, what you just touched on earlier, which was such a powerful moment, is that Rey gets the call to adventure not once but twice.
Right.
The first one she accepts out of danger, and that is get in the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Right.
You know, and to me, growing up, the Millennium Falcon is the absolute symbol of freedom and adventure.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what it is to me.
An escape, right?
Like I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. Well, it's the Firefly syndrome. It's right.
To connect the like what I was saying with the lightsaber thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the great moment in Last Jedi in a meta way for me. I don't like again tonally I think they kind of blew it, but like when Luke throws the lightsaber away, I was like, yes.
Loved it.
Exactly what
Laughed
you need to do.
Hysterically. The whole crowd did in
Yeah,
my,
like
in
that's
the theater.
That's exactly what this movie needs to do.
Yeah.
And then it makes a big argument to do that and sort of does it. Like most of the movie is either Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, like scene for scene. You know, it's just like, here's a throne room battle and here's the walkers on a big snowy looking planet. It's salt. But like, it's whatever it is. Like, and they keep on replaying the stuff. And
can I ask you guys the question?
Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
Because they know it works.
Yeah, no, this...
isn't that disappointing?
It is. But
aren't you disappointed? Because you keep talking about how great this movie is.
I'm not disappointed at all, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because we're getting to see it built the right way.
But how?
Right.
Well, we've seen it before.
But I don't see a story
let's step
that's
back.
Complete.
Okay, wait.
No, I understand
let's,
it.
Let's pull it but, back to the idea of remakes in general. Because
I'll say this. Let's get a little broader,
I think. I'll say this, though.
At its core, Star Wars right now, and you may not agree with me.
I know it's suffering.
Well, It's second only to itself right. in terms of sales.
No. Suffering in terms of like identification, not in terms of sales.
I don't think it is. I think it knows where – I think they have a story team and a cinematic team finally that goes from movie to movie, even the show to show. Right. Rebels, the CG show, is actually canon. The things that happen in it. You know, they show up in Rogue One.
Their intention, I totally agree. Their intention is to build an environment for the fans to exist in.
Right. Well, what I'm trying to say is, it in its current form right now, it is for 25-year-olds. It's not for us anymore. You have to come to terms with that. It's not for us anymore.
I agree. Yeah. Right. And I think that. Okay, how can I say it? It's a powerful argument to make. Like, this thing is new, and the movie is making that. It's saying, like, we should be new and move on, right? Mm-hmm. And my point of view, like, the core reason why I did not like Force Awakens, right, the first one, is because there was nothing new. Like, there was nothing new. Like, the new characters are interesting actors, but they have no journeys themselves.
But let's go back to what Justin's saying, because what Justin is defining is like what he's saying, what we're saying is not new. He's saying it's a reboot.
Yeah, no, this is the thing.
That's why I asked originally, what's your definition of a reboot? And I think that's a powerful statement to make.
I disbelieve in the idea of reboots. I think,
I agree.
No,
I agree.
I believe in, like, I only believe in, how can I say it? Like, there are reboots that I have loved. And there are many remakes that I have loved, like Stone Cold Remix. And I'm not against the idea of doing any of that. I'm just against the idea of making movies that don't stand by their own merits. And this is the giant problem, is like, unlike, I hear what you're saying about like, well, you know, it's, you know, for, you know, the people that grew up with Star Wars and that, like, they're upset because it's nothing connected there. I'm like, I'm actually 100% on your side. Like, what I want to see is, I don't want to see any more of the old stuff at all. I only want new things for a new audience. And the reason why I want that is because, like, my only nostalgia is the difference between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back is enormous. Star Wars is one kind of movie. Empire Strikes Back is another kind of movie. The amount of things they carry over are, like, the characters, and then everything else is new. And the level of filmmaking is new, and the style is new.
Let me ask you this. Would you say, so we can all agree that, you know, episodes 1 through 3, there was no nostalgia.
I don't
care. Everything was new. I've
said this before on the show.
Right.
I hate nostalgia. I hate it with every bone in my body.
Hold on. We've had several podcasts about the concept of nostalgia for a while.
And because nostalgia...
It's not what it used to be.
It's nostalgia.
I want a T-shirt that says that. Nostalgia. It's not what it used to be.
In and of itself, nostalgia is useless and it's meaningless.
That's why I hated the La La Land and we have to do a podcast about it.
What's funny is that Chris hated it. I love La La Land because I think it's making the argument to get rid of nostalgia. Right. That's my...
I liked La La Land, but at the same time, I was also like, I don't understand why it's getting so many awards.
Right. That's a movie that works.
There's clearly
work
so many other things that could have been...
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
Not knocking anybody or anything that worked on the thing. I'm just saying, it wasn't my bag. Right. I'm not a musical guy. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed it for
I love musicals,
yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah. But the funny thing for me was, like, you know, any movie that has, you know, where you're traveling around LA, and if you've lived in LA for over 5 years, it's nostalgia.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you've ever lived in LA even if it was for 6 months, you're gonna watch La La Land and go like, I've been there. Right. I've been there. Oh, God, I love this movie. You know what I mean?
Great to have like nostalgia by itself.
Yeah.
Right. Is not a story. Right. Nostalgia is just like, hey, look at this picture of the thing you loved. There it is. And then you go, oh, I do love that.
The member berries.
Yeah, the member berries, right? The member berries. So when I say I hate nostalgia, I don't hate it. I hate it being passed off as something, as a story or something meaningful when it's not. Like, a movie needs to earn its own meaning. And
correct.
Force Awakens, the first one. So just to let you know that I'm not misstating myself. Mm-hmm. the Force Awakens, it introduces really great new young actors. And I was excited by diversity. All these people. And absolutely.
Which is Disney's big thing right now.
Right.
And I'm all for it. I love it.
Which is all good. And we can discuss it. But also, what it also introduced was just new stories.
Well, the possibility of new
the
stories.
The possibility
right.
of new
and
stories.
And I was excited by it. That's the lone thing that I was excited about in Force Awakens. I was just like,
and that was your problem. Your problem is like, everything has to be episodic.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just make
just
the movie.
Just the Skywalker saga. Which is what they're doing. All right. So like one of the arguments that was also going on, you know, I see a lot on Facebook, they were like, oh, well, Rian Johnson just said F you to JJ and did his own things. No, JJ was an executive producer on that film.
Yeah. And,
and
it's very much,
in, you know what I mean?
Like Last Jedi is, and yeah. again, the positive things I'll say about this movie are, there are a lot of them. And the thing I like best about it is that it's really trying to have a dialogue with Force Awakens.
It is.
Like, it's trying to understand how to move forward from where they're at. And that's basically the subject of the plot.
But you know, like, because I've talked about this with several different people, and I want to hear you guys' opinion. A lot of the other opinions that I'm hearing is, you know, Rian Johnson came in and did this, made several decisions, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Listen. That's not how they work over there.
Definitely not. They fire literally everybody who disagrees with them.
Right. Well, you know what they're doing.
Like they just can them.
They're doing exactly what Marvel's doing.
Right. Yeah.
And your role, the role of it is the same company. But you can't deny the success of Marvel Studios.
Yeah, it's sort of like but also you can't deny how sort of flat and uninteresting the Marvel movies are getting.
Marvel's also figured out a twist. Right.
Yes, but I think
Marvel's twist is that. And it happened on Thor. It's like Thor's going like, yeah, we're going to get a little funnier.
Right. And they're doing this because they're making tons of money on Marvel movies. They realize that superhero movies are on their way out. Like everything is kind of the same and we need some new fresh stuff. That's why you get really good ones like Logan and Deadpool, which are doing different weird things with this stuff, and they're getting back to telling really powerful or really hilarious stories.
But those two aren't Marvel Studios.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like because Marvel sees this, and when they did Thor, that is their response to Deadpool.
Thor was a Guardians of the Galaxy thing.
Partially true, But like the impact of Deadpool, I'm not saying they're related stylistically.
Deadpool and Logan are totally related.
Like absolutely. Yeah, but I'm not saying related stylistically.
In terms of like, we're going to go absolute comedy, absolute tragedy.
But the thing is like, I'm not talking
about. And drop F-bombs as much as possible.
Yeah. I'm not talking about stylistically related. I'm talking about. Hiring the dude that did What We Did in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People to direct your Avengers Thor film means that they're like, we can't keep on making the same dumb movie because it's starting to lose gas. And you can see Deadpool, like, because it was different, made literally $1 billion when they thought it would not make any.
Can we talk a little bit about Deadpool? A little silent because Deadpool was never supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
And because I know Tim, and I talked to Tim a lot about this.
Right. He's kind of like a personal hero of mine. I
saw the teaser of Deadpool that he did, you know, a long, long time ago.
Yeah. Hilarious.
And I probably shouldn't have seen that, and I can't believe I'm saying it online.
No comment.
But it was out there, right? And so that Fox, I believe, I mean, totally wrong, as you guys, and I'd have. You know, I think owned the rights to the X-Men things at that time.
Not anymore.
Right. So they basically said there's no way there's going to be an R-rated superhero film.
Right.
Right?
Boy, were they wrong.
And,
yeah.
Well, they may have been right at the time because that teaser came out, I want to say like 8 years ago or more.
You could not have done Deadpool at that moment.
No way.
You have to wait for literally everyone to get incredibly tired of what superhero movies are.
Somehow, then it works. Some very smart person, and apparently Tim said he'll swear on a stack of Bibles, even though I'm sure he's not religious, that didn't leak from him. But somehow someone filmed an iPhone thing that went out on the internet and it went freaking viral everywhere of the teaser that was out. And then the studio goes, huh, they want to do this. Yeah. Now, what, and this came up before, by the way, they said, Fox or whoever owned the rights to it says, okay, we'll do it for this very small budget. And that very small budget is actually what probably saved the movie.
Because you can do whatever you want to do, right? Because like you can make the movie you want to make when it's $50 million.
Right. You got to get a little closer, buddy.
It's the Wachowski problem.
Right.
Exactly. When you give the Wachowskis too much money, it gets real weird real quick.
Tim got around, he's like, all right, let's make it small and lean and rely on the actual, the scripts.
Yeah.
Right, because the only thing that's it's like, it's the classic Spielberg Jaws thing, right? Yeah. It's like when the shark doesn't work, you have to make a good movie now. Right. And that's just what it comes down to. And that's exactly what Deadpool did. And like the because it made a gazillion dollars, right, it changed everyone's opinion about what to do about superhero movies. And you're seeing the effects of that now with things like Thor Ragnarok, which is like we need to, because like, Avengers 2, Ant-Man and Captain America 3. I don't know where they begin or end. Like, they're basically one big, pretty good movie. And I think that everyone...
Whoa.
Like,
are you dissing Winter Soldier?
No. Captain America 3. Winter Soldier is excellent.
Winter Soldier is a very good movie.
Yeah. Winter Soldier is like... I gotta breathe. That's a straight-up great movie. I love that movie.
Absolutely.
I gotta go through my Lamaze training.
Exactly. But they are definitely recognizing, like, if we are going to make the money on this thing, and this is like, we talked about this before, it's like the studios are in a great place right now. And by that, I mean a terrible place where they are looking at a very limited number of franchises that will die out at some point, and everyone's getting kind of tired. That means that they're going to start investing in creative people to make these movies. And that's why, for instance, with Star Wars, they got like all the directors they hired were like young new people, right? And then they fired all of them. But they have the intention of refreshing this thing.
Well, I think, in my opinion, I think that it's a little different than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Marvel, from the very beginning, took a stance of running it like a television show.
Absolutely true. No, I totally agree with you.
So the showrunners, which is Kevin Feige,
mm-hmm.
In this example, and I don't know, I don't work in Marvel Studios, I can only assume. I got a lot of friends that work there, so I hear some hearsay and all that stuff. But for what that man has done to Marvel Studios, he's made my top five list of people I want to work with eventually in my life.
Oh, the guy's literally visionary, right?
But what they're doing is, and I think that even James Gunn has come out and said certain things like this. You're there. Marvel's idea of a director, and I could be completely wrong, is you're here to host the party.
Yeah.
You know. We have plans.
Right. Yeah.
We have art.
Right.
You get to pick the art.
Yep. This is totally.
You know what I mean? And the Lego directors were like, hell no. We come from the old school stock of directors where we get to come in and we do what we want.
Right.
And I'm here to tell everyone, hey, look, that's not how the franchises work anymore. The CEO of Disney, I was listening to a Kevin Smith podcast when they were talking to Miramax, when Miramax was owned by Disney, CEO was telling, Miramax at the time, like, you fucked with the brand. You ruined Miramax. It's no longer the indie darling
we have to tend to this flavor.
Right. And I think that that's their thing is like, we have to tend to this. This is our protect the brand, protect the product, give them what they want, but give them something new.
Right.
And the only way that you can do that is when you have a committee.
Yeah. And I agree with everything you're saying. I think that the life cycle of that design is coming to a close in the next year and a half. And
you think that soon?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think in the next year to 2 years, like, because we've already seen Thor Ragnarok, mm-hmm. like, it's the changes that I'm describing are in the pipe. Mm-hmm. Like, because the general
is this it, just to clarify, is this opinion or do you know for a fact?
This is totally my opinion. Yeah, this is like okay. what I would say is happening is that the return.
So you're not saying like the entire Marvel universe is coming to, like I'm saying the way that universe is there, being.
Because your connection to TV, like what you said about TV, is not only totally accurate, the changes I'm describing are also finally yeah. happening for TV. Now, like, yeah. where you are, like, there was a while, and man, Chris has heard me bitch about this for a long right. time, like, I was dismayed by people telling me how good television was when it was very high production value garbage. And it was almost across the board. I'm just like, none of this is actual. If I paid money in the theater for any of this, I'd be upset. And everyone's telling me, oh, you got to see this, and this is great, and this, you know, it's the golden age of TV. And I'm like, this is, like, I may as well be watching Three's Company with a $1 billion budget. Like, these are bad shows.
Hey, no, I love Three's Company.
Yeah, actually, it's a great show. But yeah, in the past year, oh my God, that's my whole childhood right there. Mm-hmm.
I try to base all my roommate situations off that.
When I moved to LA and I went to Venice Beach, I was like, where's I'm
Chrissy?
Here.
Where's oh Chrissy?
God. Yeah, where's Chrissy? I need a Chrissy in my life, please.
But like the past crop of TV, the big winners for TV in the past year have been doing the thing that I have been hoping for, which is like they are not doing, say, 20 episodes or 13 episodes. They're doing like 6 and 8 episodes and tightening up their stories and spending a lot of like time on individual filmmaking. Like this is like we got to really tighten up our act. This can't just be like mediocre. And so you end up with The Handmaid's Tale and you end up with Mindhunter and stuff like this, where you're like, these are basically very long films.
Yeah.
And they're beautifully done and incredibly dramatic. And like, that's the kind of TV that like, I just want TV as good as something I pay for in a movie theater. That's good. And so Marvel and the superhero thing in general, but certainly for Marvel, watching Marvel and DC, like, how they are trying to fight this fight is really interesting because DC is a disaster.
I don't think that Marvel's fighting anything. I think they found the formula.
Yeah,
it's working out for them.
Yeah, but it's like that's what I'm saying is like that formula, like that formula worked.
I'm pro Marvel. I'm anti DC.
No, I'm not because like actually I enjoy all the Marvel movies. Absolutely. I was really excited for Civil War because I loved Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is a like you don't have to know who Captain America. is, or Bucky is, in order for that to be good.
Let's actually go back to this for a second, because that's the thing that I really liked about Winter Soldier, and it's also the thing I really liked about Empire Strikes Back.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
It doesn't make any difference what came before
it. It has a beginning and the end, right. And you actually, doesn't matter where you are, that it doesn't rely on anything else really to stand.
Captain America 2 is 100% fresh throughout. Yeah. I don't have to have seen Cap, even though like part of the plot is dependent on a story that happened in Captain America 1, I don't have to have seen it to be emotionally affected by it.
Right. No.
Like I was like, it was amazing because I read comic books. I didn't know who the Winter Soldier was for some reason. And when it happened, I was like, oh my God. Like,
you got to give over your nerd card.
It's so embarrassing, but it was wonderful.
Hold on. Just because we've gone on a Marvel tangent long.
We went off, but technically, Marvel.
Same studio.
Star Wars comics.
Let's connect all of it back.
Shitty job at moderating.
No. Everything that we're saying about Marvel is
I blame
also,
the whiskey.
Yes. Always bless the whiskey.
Always bless
and
the whiskey.
Come to think of it, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
So right, let's do this on mic. There you go. Oh, it's my favorite sound. There we go.
Why, for the viewers at home, what are we drinking, by
listeners,
the way?
We are drinking Delwini.
Delwini.
Yes. Delicioso.
Which is a 15-year-old Scottish whiskey.
Ooh.
It is Highland. I believe it's a Highland Scotch.
It's an is,
as in
is
there could only be one? Or?
it's a Highland.
I hope so.
Well, you don't want any Lowland Scotches. No, actually, Lowland Scotches are very good, too. So, please, the Scotch.
Disney's going to buy them out. And it's
I'm pretty sure all Scotch is awesome. I mean, can we all agree
it's
on
it? It's pretty awesome. No matter
it depends. I mean, there's a Highland Scotch, and there's a Lowland Scotch, and then there's also, obviously, your
Islay.
Is it Islay?
Islay? I'm going to be lowbrow.
I would like listeners to correct me on the correct way to pronounce, because it's written Islay.
Yes. I believe it is pronounced Islay, but Islay. The thing is that, like, this and this is a true tangent. Which, by tangent. The way, is a
teeny little shitty island where it's very cold, and which is probably why the whiskey...
This is actually just made of their tears. It's all they do. It's fisherman's tears.
But well, this is a highland, so yeah. No.
Well, it's quite lovely, and thank Del you for bringing it to the table.
Thank you.
So, okay, so...
Go back to
connect,
Star Wars.
Let's connect to the everything we've been saying about
Make
Marvel.
Make a connection between your Marvel and your Star Wars universes.
That...
Because what you guys have done, first of all, I want to just say this. What you guys have done is you've guys made a great tie to the fundamental problem that we're struggling with, which is called a franchise.
Yes. Yep. And this is key, because like the difference between Force Awakens and Last Jedi for me is hugely important and very good.
Also, I should note that there was no franchise before Star Wars.
Oh, I mean, there's long strings of sequels, but there's nothing like that. There's nothing that's a no, really
nothing
really
as there's important Planet of the Apes or valuable.
And,
oh, okay, Planet of the Apes
stuff like that.
Indy.
Indiana
Jones.
No, Star Wars starts in 77 and Star 80 Wars for Empire Strikes Back.
Star Wars was before Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it was like Indiana Jones.
But I'm saying it became a franchise. Oh, you're saying there was no franchise before.
Yeah, like they
Flash Gordon is technically a franchise.
Yeah, like there's
well, he brought up Planet of the Apes. Which
the
actually,
idea that's like a good, Planet of the, but even when they were doing Planet of the Apes, like the way and I'll keep this super short so I don't go off on that too. But like the making Planet of the Apes, like their idea about that one was the classical old way of thinking about sequels, which is just like, okay, pay big money for the first one, then pay like half that for the second one, quarter that for the third one, blah, 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 and just let it peter out. And we'll just grub up the cash as much as we can, and there it is. But with Star Wars, they're like, spend more money on the next one, and spend more money on the next one, because the more money we put on the table, the more money we get in return. Mm-hmm. And that's the key to what franchising is about, right? You want to create an environment where... like you're paying off the viewers with spectacle and hopefully quality, and they are spreading the word and giving you lots of dough. And then you want to make sure that it's a von Neumann machine that continues to just recreate itself.
It's not just a film, it's a universe. It's an experience.
It's an experience. And the thing is that, and so like, for instance, with television shows, one of the things that I've complained about a lot is I believe that television shows, and this is true with Mindhunter, it's amazing in Mindhunter, is every episode of Mindhunter is its own episode. Like, it feels like its own little artistic statement. Mm-hmm. But it is also part of this larger story. And it's like literally like chapters in a book.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, here's a short story that's related to this short story that's related to this one. And you read it as one big thing and it means this, but individually they're all also great and have their own thing to say. And I think that is... And that's the thing that most franchising fails at, is like Jurassic Park should not be just repeating Jurassic Park 1, right? Raiders of the Lost Ark should not be repeating Raiders of the Lost Ark a million times. Yeah. And what the magic between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back is that they're like, we're going to make an entirely different movie now. And it's an entirely different experience that's deeper and more emotional. And it created such a profound spiritual love for this product, that people have been trying to recapture it ever since then. And like, it's the lightsaber problem in a franchise, where it's like, with Force Awakens, everyone's just like, it's the best one since Empire. The new show comes out, it's the best thing since Empire. Jedi comes out, it's the best thing since Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like,
that's a torch, right?
And the thing is like, there's no passing the torch movie between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. It's simply a brand new great thing. There's no like, but we have to get people used to Star Wars, and then we catch them up to speed on Star Wars, and then we begin Empire. No, fuck it. They're like, do it. Make the movie.
Yeah.
Make the movie. Start it fresh and new. But
I think that's the reason of why we're getting these, you know, in my opinion, the beautifully remade versions of A New Hope and Empire. We'll get a return, and then guess what? It's all brand new characters, and the game is open.
That's the stuff I want.
But you've got to close the door before you start the new.
Who do you have to close the door for? Who do you have to close the door for?
The Skywalker saga.
You don't. Who do you have to close? Like, for the audience? Who cares?
The audience cares.
Nope, no, they shouldn't.
Yeah, they do. Well, they shouldn't.
This is my argument. They should not care.
But that's like going into an Iron Man movie and not seeing Iron Man.
That is exactly right. If it's a great movie, if I went into it, yeah, no, I promise you, the only important thing ever is that the movie is good.
I'll quote the CEO of Disney. You're messing with the brand.
Yeah, I know, but like this is the thing. It's like the reason why you have they get into a position where
they did it with Logan.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't even connect. It doesn't work with the other X-Men movies. And it's a great movie. It doesn't matter that it doesn't connect.
We could do an entire show of why the X-Men movies should be discontinued.
No, they're generally very bad. That's my primary argument.
Logan
was good.
Logan was fantastic. Good because they were allowed to pull from source material that they were allowed to pull from.
Yeah, well,
Old Man Logan's
a great comic,
stuff,
right? Yeah. But the reason, you can make a bad movie out of Old Man Logan.
You could make
a bad movie out of anything.
Yeah.
What they did do was make a great movie. And that's it. That's the only important thing. And so,
you got to get a director that understands. Absolutely.
But you don't have to. You do not have to have seen any X-Men movie or know what superheroes are in order to think that Logan's good. It is utterly disconnected as its own event. And that's what Star Wars is. That's what Empire Strikes Back is. And what I'm always arguing for is I get very obviously passionate about this. Like, I also agree that all these old bastards that are complaining about, oh, they fucked up Luke. Fuck up Luke. I don't want to see Luke again.
They played Luke perfectly.
Yeah, it's great. Do this. I don't care. Make it a comedy. Do whatever you want with
his story ends.
Yeah.
He did exactly what he was supposed
absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. And
I really don't care about Luke.
Yeah, can
all this
stuff.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to care about Rey.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly!
Yes.
And the moment for me in The Last Jedi.
Finn, but he was fucking pointless.
Oh, he's terrible. But Rey in this movie is amazing. Ryan?
You got to realize this is all setting up. It's just like this.
I know,
when we walked out of Empire
movie,
Strikes Back,
TV
you didn't know that there was going
to
be another. It was implied, but how many movies have you seen that have implied that there's going to be a next one and it never happens? We all know in Hollywood, if it didn't do well, we weren't getting a Return of the Jedi.
That's right.
But now we know,
we
know that we're going to get 2 Star Wars films a year.
That's which is marvelous.
Right?
Okay, first I just want to press
pause. That's great.
And I want to ask you, what did you think of Rogue One?
Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved
I loved it.
It.
I loved it. I loved it.
Loved it.
And not only that, okay, just to throw this, I've brought this up before, that is a multiracial film led by a female protagonist. And it is fantastic, and nobody complained about anything. None of the racist nerds were just like, I can't believe they had so many guys. Nobody did that. I can't believe it's a girl. None of it. Because the movie is really good. And they saw it and they're like, holy shit, that's a really good movie. Now, I do agree. I would prefer that it was a new movie and not part of Star Wars. But as itself, you don't have to have seen anything else. It is a powerful, excellent film itself.
I would actually say that it's just a remake of A New Hope again.
Yeah, but it's good. Right? Yeah. But it's good. Force Awakens is a remake of...
We discussed this on the last podcast, and you listened to it.
Yeah.
Just so people...
It's great, by the way. It was fun.
Thanks. Yeah,
it was
a good time. So you got to get an exclusive early listen to it so that we can put these two podcasts...
Back to back.
But... that movie was a war film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like a Battle of Midway or what's the Clint Eastwood film that I'm thinking about.
Dirty Dozen and stuff like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not Dirty Dozen. A war film, like actual historic war film.
Yeah, well, Dirty Dozen. Well, anyway, the one with Clint Eastwood and... blah blah blah.
The beach thing.
The beach thing. Yes. Go ahead.
Why am I blanking?
So
this?
Yes, absolutely. It's a World War II war film.
It's basically something that is known.
Right.
Right. So they took this thing, this moment in time in a Star Wars canon,
right,
and made a film of it to expand on your knowledge and realize the impact that it had.
Right.
They gave themselves a beginning and an end, and they knew the journey they had to make between those two points.
That's because they had two bookends that they had to fit it in.
Right.
Now, and this is my rebuttal, and I do agree with a lot of people not liking Canto Bright. Is that what it's light or bright? I get it.
That's
a lot of people don't like the casino planet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's only there so we can come back to it.
That's a terrible thing to have in a movie. I disagree. That messes
because
up
Rogue
your story.
One doesn't work.
Okay, like that's like saying,
at all. No, unless you have A New Hope.
No, Rogue One absolutely works if you don't have A New Hope. You know why? You know I know that's true.
Why?
Is because A New Hope was like the movie is meant to make you feel as if you've come in late to a much longer film, and it works. Right? You have like there's an empire. This I don't know what all this stuff is. And you watch it and you get it, right? Rogue One, everything that you need to know is inside the movie. It makes you feel like there's some other stuff I should catch up on. I really like this movie. But everything you need to know, what the threat is, why they're there, why I should care about these characters, how they change, is in the film. That's it. You don't have to understand anything else. There's no setup required in order to enjoy it at all.
There's some.
No, like there's like you can
I have
watch
to say
like,
that there's some because like, if you're going to like go, it's like your Logan discussion.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who Wolverine is, you don't give a shit about Logan.
No, that's totally untrue.
Untrue.
Totally untrue.
I don't think so because if you have to explain it to your girlfriend.
No, tell you what.
And she's like I don't understand why he's dying and you're like
if I don't know who Indiana Jones is, do I like Raiders of the Lost Ark and care about him? There are apparently other adventures with this guy. They talk about it in the movie.
Raiders was the first one, right?
Yeah, exactly. So why did, like, I didn't know anything about this guy.
You like it because it's your introduction. Logan is not an introduction
Logan
to the character.
Logan is absolutely an introduction to this person. He's nothing like
it's
the Wolverine.
It's a completely different person.
It is a whole different other movie.
I would
movie.
Disagree.
Like it's like the idea of, like, if you didn't call him Logan, right, and instead of having claws, he just fought with knives, right, and it wasn't Wolverine. And Professor X was named something else.
Let's go back.
Are the only changes. Wait. The only changes you made to that movie, I would still cry in the end of the movie. It doesn't make any difference that this is X-Men or not X-Men. Like, it makes it interesting. It puts a weird spin on it, and that's great.
So if you take his claws away.
Yeah.
What, and his name's not Logan.
Yep.
And it's somebody else.
Yep.
You're supposed to have the same weight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a guy I care
I disagree.
About. So, in that case, what you're describing, what you're actually saying is that is a terrible movie. Because,
no,
like,
I'm not saying that at all.
If the only thing that makes you like the movie is this name in the text, then that's bad.
No, I'm saying the only reason we got that movie is the reason that Hugh Jackman made us fall in love with his version of the cinematic version of Wolverine.
No, he did not. I don't like the X-Men movies. I don't even like him as Wolverine. I think he's fine. I mean, he's the best Wolverine
I've
seen.
But that's you.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I loved Logan because Logan is Logan. That's it. He cares
but
about
he doesn't
this girl.
Exist
he's
without
an angry
Wolverine.
Old man. I totally identify
he doesn't,
with him.
It doesn't exist. You don't get to make Logan unless there's X-Men movies.
Financially, that's absolutely true.
You're just saying the complexity of the Logan character is only derived based on, hold on just a second.
Dan. Absolutely.
The complexity of the Logan character can only be present based on the fact that X-Men exists.
No. I'm saying that the reason that a majority of the audience lovers that went to go see Logan went to go see the film is because
we're not talking about the how many people went to see the movie. We're
right.
talking about the quality of the movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Because, actually, Dan and I don't care about how much movie makes. We care about how good the movie is.
Well, yeah, and also, I just want to interject.
Yeah.
Like, because I get so passionate and excited about this, I never want any of my yelling to come across as anything, but I'm having a blast. Like, so please don't take it.
Likewise.
We're having a great time.
Like, it's great.
This is not bad arguing. This is really fun arguing.
I don't agree with that because... In my eyes, you know, certain actors do so well in certain roles that I cannot see anyone else playing them.
Okay.
And that's me personally.
Now let's go back. Okay. Logan.
Right.
Right. Looper. Okay.
Yeah. We've both seen Looper.
We've seen Looper.
Yeah.
Looper has no back history.
None. Right. It's great.
Right?
Yep.
That is an unbelievably complex character that and could have been
not
born.
Only that,
hold on.
It feels like
hold on. Wait, hold on.
It feels
hold
like
hold
a much more complicated movie than I expected. Right.
Right. So he could have had an entire amazing, crazy backstory with all kinds of superhero backstory, whatever stuff that happened to lead him to that character, but it never happened. He exists at a point in time that is like,
this is interesting.
This right is interesting.
I like that.
Okay.
And it's good.
Okay.
But I still think that
Logan
doesn't exist.
Logan could exist in the same way that he does.
And actually, this is a great way to change the conversation off of Logan.
Yeah, I'm just doing
we all really like Looper, and Looper is directed by Rian Johnson, who directed Last Jedi.
Yes.
And Looper, what's really sort of fantastic about Looper is that Looper feels like it's maybe the eighth film in the Looper series. Like, it's so complex.
Exactly. That's
like, you're just like, what the fuck is that? And who's that guy? And what are these guys doing? And
I'm
like,
the first.
Right? And, but it's the first one.
Story.
It simulates this idea of like it put dumps you into this thing and you don't get it. And that's what's exciting because it's all brand new to you, right? Mm-hmm. And
just like La Jetée, a 12th
La
film.
Jetée, man, so good. That is why I was excited for Rian Johnson directing Last Jedi, mm-hmm. is because
he
handles this kind of material amazingly well. And I feel like, and especially like, I know people like really jam on the sort of the weird comedy of Last Jedi. Like, I'm actually totally all right with a weird comedy. Like, I think that's
are
all.
Are you?
Like, well, the thing is, like, I'm okay with it conceptually. I think a lot of it's not done very well.
I don't think it's good comedy.
It's not a very good comedy. I'm all for making a funny Star Wars movie. That's absolutely like on the way. I think we've talked about it before. Like
Spaceballs.
Star Trek, right? Star Trek 1, Star Trek 2 are very, very, very serious films.
Yes, absolutely.
And then Star Trek 4 is like a total light, breezy comedy and great. Also great, right? And so I have no problem with a tonal change. And something Rian Johnson handles really well, because Looper is a total tonal change movie constantly.
Yeah.
And so I'm totally on board for all that stuff. The push of Last Jedi, the argument, I'm just going to say all the things I love about Last Jedi. Let's get it on the table, because I think you're not going to
leave me anything to talk about.
No, it's great, because like if we're going to argue about it, I want to say like we actually agree tremendously on this movie.
Well, I'm sure we do. Yeah.
And so it's like the powerful thing about this movie is that it is making an argument for things to be new. Like, mm-hmm. that's mainly the theme of the film. It's making an argument for the idea of Star Wars to sort of grow up out of its sort of like boyhood action moviness and think about this in a larger new way. That's, say, most of Poe Dameron's plot, right?
Right.
With the very best part of the movie for me is the Kylo Ren Rey connection shows that Rian Johnson deeply
likes chests.
Oh man, that thing is broad. It's like you could serve like.
I thought they digitally shrunk his head for. I was like, whoa!
I know.
Yeah.
It's like Rutger Hauer got
wide.
Yeah, that's triple, serious business.
Triple D like, on that thing.
Exactly.
I was like, is this the Thor moment? Every movie there's a Thor moment where it's like, hey, that guy Australian and shirtless.
It's
like Stretch Armstrong, man. I couldn't believe that.
Stretch Armstrong.
It's like this. Like there. Their connection is great in this film. They're my two favorite actors in the movie. And I love...
do you like Kylo? Everybody hates on Kylo.
I love
him.
I love that actor.
I actually
hugely.
Mentioned it on the podcast. I actually really think that Kylo Ren's despicableness, like your hatred for him, is actually... He's so good at it.
Yeah, it's great.
I think we're going to see the best. I think this we're witnessing the birth of the best villain.
Yeah, I think you may be right, because that, he's,
no one
he's
wants
one of the
to
best
give him
actors.
A
he, I loved him in Force Awakens.
Yeah,
honestly speaking,
he's the best part of Force Awakens easily.
This is how we were supposed to see Anakin.
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely true.
This is how
true.
We were supposed to see
Justin,
Anakin.
100% agree.
You have that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You have
this
that
is how that's in my
you're,
opinion.
You're
yeah.
absolutely right. Yeah. He is really the Anakin I wish I saw.
Because this is
thank you. And now this is what I'm actually want. This is what I want from you, Justin.
Yeah. Because he is if you listen to the other thing I do on Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, like he is the. I thought it was an unsolvable problem how bad Return of the Jedi is, but this, in a long way around, and hopefully in the next movie, like solves the problem of Return of the Jedi. And because Anakin Skywalker, for me, like I don't know why we talk about him as a character. I don't know why that's true.
We were given such a bad,
it's like
bad version of
it's him. Like it's also terrible in the episodes 1 through 3. But yeah. But Darth Vader himself, the failure of Return of the Jedi is that super short version is that somehow between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, all of Luke's emotional problems have been solved, and he starts the movie basically fine, right? And
as a self-proclaimed Jedi Knight.
As a self-proclaimed Jedi Knight. And this, like,
with zero training.
This is,
with zero with training.
Because, yes. Like,
yes. And everybody's like, oh, Rey will it. Yeah. Oh, don't even.
I hate it so much more in Return of the Jedi. I can't even tell you. It's a mild problem with the new one.
There's issues.
It's very, very flashless.
Yeah.
But like the thing that what Kylo Ren solves or starts to solve is, first of all, they got a great actor. Adam Driver is just fantastic. You see any movie he's in, he's great. And they spend so much time both recognizing and trying to figure out the problem of what the fuck are these characters here for?
Yeah.
Like, what is this? Like
that elevator, the elevator scene.
It's like
when this, it was deathly quiet. The only thing I could imagine him going,
refresh the scene.
And in Last Jedi, there's a scene where he just leaves. Snoke tells him to take off the mask.
Oh yeah.
And there's that last little quip before he gets dismissed. And he's just right. like, you're just a them. Child in a right. mask.
Exactly.
Right. And he's in that elevator and he's just, you could see and feel the heat coming off of him, how
absolutely.
Pissed he totally. Was. And I thought this would have been a great moment to actually show how powerful he was. Instead of him smashing the helmet, I get that he was like, I'm done with the helmet, but also, why? I love the helmet. Right. But I wanted to see him flex and bow the elevator.
right,
like
right.
It's there, it's but broken, his, and then he gets off and he's like, rage, give me my ship. I want to see the rage. Yeah.
His rage in that scene is actually, this is the stuff that I love in this movie, is that it is a rebuttal to Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Force Awakens is we got to make you the new Darth Vader. And they're forcing him into the Darth Vader costume. Right. And his complaint in the movie is basically, I'm not good enough to be Darth Vader. Right. And in this movie, he's saying, with all the weight of this history, I am being crushed. Right. Mm-hmm. And what the movie is saying in a larger way is there's all this fucking Star Wars media and ours, all the stuff I have to live up to in making a new movie. Like, who the hell am I? I'm a stupid character.
Yeah.
I don't work. Like, who am I? And then they relate it to Rey,
yeah.
who is saying literally
the
same thing.
Yeah.
And because they have that connection, like that, I was like, oh shit, that's a really good movie right there. That's the good movie.
I'm waiting for the Jack Nicholson moment. And I say the Jack Nicholson moment is we're probably in the very beginning of this next film, we're going to see the moment where it's like, you know, Kylo Ren is literally like exactly what you said. And he goes over it. He goes like, you know what? I have all this I have to live up to. I'm going to kill the past. I'm going to leave it where it lies and become something even more powerful than you'll ever understand. And like the Jack Nicholson moment is, wait till they get a load of me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
exactly,
I cannot wait for that to happen.
And so,
and
like,
I feel they're
that's
building
exactly
it up.
Right. And that, and that's what they're saying in this film is like, we got to clear the table and start a new story.
But don't, yes, but don't you want that to be a,
I need it to be its own movie, and this isn't its own movie.
This is
that's
the
a problem.
Right. So, Justin, this is a conversation.
Yes.
This is the conversation that Dan and I have been having for years.
But one could say Empire is the same thing.
No, it's not.
Hang on.
I encourage you to
watch
it.
Because hold on. Let Justin test.
It is a film on its own.
Yes.
So is Last Jedi. You may not be happy with it. The exact same events happen in different ways. It's the same movie. It is. No one's saying that
it is
identical. It is identical.
Yeah, structurally, it's totally.
Structurally, it's the same thing.
Well, actually,
feelings may not be the same.
I just want to insert one thing. Yeah. It wants, like, and this is, we'll get to this in a second.
Yeah.
It very much wants to, like, it sees the genius of the structure of Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, that's what he intended to try to do.
So you're telling me the whole travel to the casino planet is basically Luke going to...
No.
wait, no, finish the thought. What do you mean?
Luke going to go see Yoda is the plot point that, like, goes nowhere?
Yeah, no, like, yeah.
In a sense, his... time training, his time training
goes nowhere.
Goes nowhere. Because in Empire Strikes Back, Yoda goes, if you leave now, you don't know what will happen.
No, he says something even worse.
Your friends may be in trouble, but that's or what he says.
If you leave now,
yeah,
forever will the dark path dominate your destiny.
That's true.
Yeah, it's that's not true. Just like, no, I think someone might get fucked up. It's like, you, it's over
and
for you, dude.
It leads exactly into what his character became.
It does?
Think about it. Okay. He has such anxiety because he's Luke effing Skywalker, right? The hubris that, you know, he gave himself. And he constantly talks about that. He's like, you know, I thought I could create a whole new race of Jedi.
Right.
Who the hell am I?
Oh, you know, all that stuff.
You know what I mean? All that stuff. Good. Empire puts him into that path where he didn't stay and learn the lessons that he needed to learn from Yoda.
And he still won anyway with no problems.
He did win anyways. But, well, he lost a hand.
Yeah, at the end of Empire.
And one could say, because he found out the real truth, he couldn't do what he should have done, which was kill Darth Vader, not try to save him.
Right.
But I digress. In the same thing is happening. Finn and Rose going to the planet on Poe's request.
Right.
You know, it's not really a Jedi lesson, but it's a lesson for Poe.
For Poe or for Finn?
For Poe. You know, you didn't see that?
Okay, explain this.
Poe, from what I could gather,
who should be shot in the head for treason?
When you only have 400 members, you kind of keep the treasonous bastards around.
Yeah, we lost 900 of them because Poe was an asshole.
Well, they were in bad shape.
Specifically, it's because Laura Dern doesn't explain what she's doing to her second in command. That's actually what happens.
But he's not. That's the point, though. He's not second in command, and he better get in line.
But he's
Leia was clearly grooming him for leadership.
Okay, hold on. Let's finish your point about why Poe is involved in this whole situation.
He had to learn that his gut reaction isn't always the best answer.
Totally, yes.
And sometimes it's futile.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because them going and coming back solves nothing. That is the lesson. That is the lesson. When Poe is listening to them, and they're here, rebel scum, and he's like, they didn't make it. He just realized that not everything can be saved by brute force.
Okay, I can totally get behind what you're saying. Yeah. Right?
That's how I took it.
Okay, so I'm going to look at I'm going to look at the Finn Rose material that way. I'm going to try and see it that way, and if the idea is to make me say, see, that was that's a dead end thinking like that, and it ends up in pain and tragedy, right? Is that the idea? Okay.
Yeah.
My only question is, why was it so uninvolving, dull, and corny and uninteresting?
And
this is my big problem with the movie in general, is I actually back what it's saying quite strongly.
Yeah, I'll go with it. It's because that scene doesn't have the sprinkle of nostalgia.
And the thing is, like, if it did, that would have made it much, much worse for me.
I absolutely disagree. It does have a sprinkle of nostalgia. Basically, the casino part was like, let's bring back the cantina, but let's make it a little bit more like James Bondy.
No, they did that. They did that.
Let's make it a little bit more James Bondy, and it's a cantina with James Bond.
Let me ask you if this would have solved it. Well, one, I have an issue with the aliens in the new stuff, and I tell you why. For every two new aliens we see on screen, I want to see one old one.
I want to see
Hammerhead in the casino.
I hear you, man.
Right? That's all I'm asking.
I want to hear.
Listening, Lucasfilm, that's all I want.
I agree with you is I loved seeing. Yeah, pardon me. I just burped on the microphone. That's really
right.
Classy.
Ooh, that's hot. Do it again.
Rogue One, outside of one, actually, there's two really clumsy moments in Rogue One for me. One is when Darth Vader does that weird dance move. It's a choke on you, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, that was a bad take. What happened there? Like, why did you put that in there? And the other one is when the guy goes, you just watch yourself. And I'm just like,
I've got the death sentence in 12.
Why do I need to see that fucking asshole? Like, I'm watching a movie.
And I actually loved that part.
Oh, it killed me. It killed me on fire, dude. I was just like, what? That totally knocked me out. Like, no, suddenly it goes, we're watching a Star Wars movie, everybody. Don't forget that. I was like, but I was watching a good movie 5 seconds ago, right. You know? And like, those are the only two big flaws in that movie. The rest of the movie, very, very powerful.
It was such a guilty pleasure. I was like, God, hey, look, he's got an arm. He's not going to have an arm for much longer.
Yeah. Oh, God. I just hate that stuff. Like, it's like the way that you use...
I eat that for breakfast. I'll eat that every day.
I hear you, man. I get so excited. I constantly break my own rule, which is I don't want to take people's love of any of this away from them. Like, loving a movie is good, and I don't want to argue people out of loving a movie. But like, my core issue with Last Jedi is not the Jedi bro point of view. Like there's just like, you know, where they're just like, I just wanted to show me the old stuff, and I just want to finish Star Wars. Like,
remember Boba Fett?
Remember Boba Fett, right? Get rid of all of it. I completely agree with what Rian Johnson is doing.
Yeah.
Completely. What I think happened, right, is that Carrie Fisher, RIP, died in the middle of production. And as much as they say, oh, we shot all that stuff, I simply don't believe them. Like, that's PR, and it's not true.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They did come out and say that, all of her stuff was filmed, and it didn't feel
true.
Like...
Not true. It totally felt like that. I'll tell you why it felt like that, because who the hell is Laura Dern in this movie for? What is that? Why is she here? That's Leia's part.
I think that
I'm sure she
was... There's a part of me that's like, that's how Leia should have gone.
Dude, listen. Let me pitch this to you right now.
But okay, I understand.
Like, I'm sure that Laura Dern was in the movie in some way, right? Yeah. But they rewrote once Carrie Fisher passed away. They were like, oh my God, what do we do now? The whole thing's messed up. And we're like, well, let's give the plot to Laura Dern. She'll come in. She's a great actress. She'll save the day. And the problem with this, because the initial structure that I think is there, right, is that you have Luke and Leia as the two parental characters of the film in two primary tracks, just like Empire Strikes Back is a two-track structure. Mm-hmm. And they are both passing on knowledge and learning something themselves, right? And
getting closure.
And getting closure and passing the torch. Passing the torch is a great story. Yeah. Passing the torch, because I don't need Star Wars to pass the torch. Passing the torch by itself is a great story. I just want it to be a great story. So like, the idea that Leia can make the argument of like, Poe, you're an amazing dude and you remind me a lot of my brother when mm-hmm. he was young, mm-hmm. right? But he made core mistakes that made him a crazy old man, and I need you to come at it from a different point of view. And she has, if that were the film and she were making that argument the whole time, right, it would be her dealing with essentially her own nostalgia for her brother, like of the hero that he was and the crazy old man that he is now. And she has to reconcile that, which also would ring true for fans, and making this like very morally backed argument of saying, this is who I am. You know my history. And I'm trying to pass on what I learned because I fucked up so much. And I want to pass this on to you. That is an incredibly powerful story. And that's one track of two tracks of that would rhyme with, to quote George Lucas, with the Luke storyline of trying to deal with his past, because then essentially both of them are trying to do that. And both of them are trying to pass this on to this new generation and help them understand.
The message of The Last Jedi is absolutely, your heroes fail.
Yes, exactly true, right? And
I love that. I can't believe people dislike that part.
Right, totally there, right? I'm totally with you on this.
Love that whole message.
So these two tracks, if that was the movie that happened, right, the pieces of the movie are there, right? But
can I ask a question?
I see what you're saying, though. It feels like there's a part missing from Leia.
The fact that Carrie Fisher died broke the movie. I bet this is what happened. This is my supposition, because the movie I feel is there is very, very powerful and very well thought through in Rian Johnson style, mm-hmm. right? And I believe that Laura Dern came in to help out, save the day, and like, I'll take over that. The problem is that Laura Dern, as herself, is given no, and of course the famous Laura Dern is here. And you go, okay. Yep. And she doesn't carry any of, and not referencing other movies, but within the movie itself, it's impossible for her to carry any moral weight, because she is a secondary character.
Oh yeah, we should have seen her in Seven. We should have seen her at the table.
Or spend a lot of time with her in this, so we understand who she is, right?
Or even in Rogue One.
Or in Rogue One. Some point, we need to know who this is, right? Yeah. And because we don't, she only gets to say one thing, like, "Oh Poe, you'll learn," and that's pretty much she just repeats until Poe's like, "Oh shucks, I figured it out," and that's a long, long haul to get to a simple scene where Poe understands. Like, it's a Poe, big.
I think we're gonna get a really good character out of Poe.
Oh, totally agreed. And I think, like,
did you know in the original script, Poe dies in Seven.
Yeah, he should have. But if they didn't, then they should have made this movie the way they.
And also, can you tell me who Poe is from the original trilogy?
Chewbacca?
No,
I don't know.
He is the combination of Luke and Han.
Mm. Sure, yeah.
You get the hot rod pilot turned general. Wasn't he a war hero? The smuggler? The war. You know what I mean? Like,
he has all the whininess of Luke Skywalker, and all the handsomeness of Han Solo.
Yeah, you know, that is exactly what he is.
Right,
and
totally true.
And you know, you take the Jedi aspect of Luke. That is just Rey. That's Rey.
Totally true.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So
agreed.
It's a clever breakup of old archetypes into the new.
I think
okay. I want to get back. I want to give Justin the mic for a little bit, because I think that, you know, we've gone through a bunch of arguments about this, and I think they are very valid. And one of the big points that I wanted to make about this is I don't necessarily want to sit there and say you're right and I'm wrong, because I think that's a lot of people are going through that right now in this movie.
Oh yeah, they're not listening to each other.
They're not listening to each other.
No.
Absolutely. And I am doing the opposite thing. Is like, I actually wanted you on here because I wanted you to talk me into why this movie is great so that I can appreciate it.
Gotcha.
Because Dan has done that to me for a bunch of movies, which I did not like. And I wanted, like, La La Land as an example. I hated La La Land, and I needed him to talk to me into why it was a good movie.
In order for this to work out, I think you should tell me a little bit, like, just real quickly, like, what are some of the qualms that you had? And maybe I can explain why they're there and why they're important.
Well, first of all, I think you did some really good things. And like, in the sense that you introduced something that was a great idea, is in a sense like, this is an actual reboot in some ways. Mm-hmm. But you presented it in a unique way that made it really interesting to me.
Yeah.
I don't actually have a problem with the fact that I don't care enough about the Star Wars universe, honestly speaking. I don't care enough about the Star Wars universe for me to be disappointed that it's not giving me what I want.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. Because
I'm much the same way.
I actually care, like Logan is not at all like X-Men.
Right.
And I'm cool with that.
You are disconnected from Star Wars.
Right.
It's, as in the some, same like, way other that like,
I actually like the J.J. Abrams reboot of Star Trek.
Yeah.
I love it too.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, I just want to say, I've said it before, and this will disqualify me from any opinion I ever have, I really enjoyed Into Darkness best.
I liked it as well.
Excellent, okay. Man. That was a great time. Okay. I love that movie.
So I got to say, there's that one moment where it's Benedict... cucumber patch.
Yes.
Can't not say
that. I've never
that.
Heard that. That's
you
awesome.
Like that cucumber patch?
I love that cucumber patch.
I love him as an actor. I think he's great as Sherlock. Now I just completely forgot what he says.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
There's that moment.
He said, Holmes, come over here.
Where, you know, it's like it's him and he's telling Kirk exactly who he is.
He
raises his voice that one time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And you're just like,
it's great.
Oh.
Like, that
this
whole,
is a villain.
I want that moment for Kylo.
Right. Like, I want that moment for Kylo.
Right. Like, okay, and to bring it into Star Wars, and to sum up, like, my agreement with you on this is huge. Like, and my feelings on Last Jedi, and I think I explained on the previous podcast, is like, I think it's a broken bad movie, but it just misses the mark, because the good things in this are so tremendous, and the powerful moments are so powerful.
Okay, we got to do a follow up. So when the next one comes out, we got to do reaction.
The difference between
the next one, we're all coming back.
Yes, but wait, this sets the stage for a great, great, great film. I think we both agree on this. Like this,
I think it's prepping us for something amazing.
But this is the problem, right? Is I went in there and I was like, what the fuck did I just watch? Why am I disappointed?
Why do you have those feelings though?
Because I didn't feel any continuity to story. It felt like everything.
Do you mean within the movie? Like within itself?
Like I wanted this thing to make sense in some way.
Right.
And I don't mind if, okay.
In terms of like, it ended and you're like, what's happening? I don't understand.
No. In terms of all the story.
Okay.
Like the whole story felt like a nostalgic moment. And I have a huge problem with nostalgia. Okay. Like every scene felt like, I've seen this before. They're trying to appease the fans. I know this huge budget problem thing. We've talked about this in the Marvel universe and we've talked about it in the Star Wars universe. The same thing. It's like, give him an AT-AT. Give him a this. Give him a that. Give him a, you know, like.
If I never see an AT-AT again, I'll be perfectly happy, I promise you.
But I love AT-ATs. AT-ATs are great.
Yep.
But they had no point in this movie except to be a fucking matte painting because they did nothing. They did nothing. But hold on. Just the point being that when you describe what you described and what you described is like, this is a way to erase Star Wars history. And I applaud that.
Yeah.
I absolutely applaud that. And I think it needs to be done. And you're right.
Yeah.
And maybe that challenge is so great that it has to come with the baggage that we talked about at the beginning.
I believe so.
I'm going to, it's going to take a little bit of time to digest what you said, Dad.
Yeah.
But what you basically said is like, we're going to have to give you a shitty movie to erase the slate just so we can start over again.
I wouldn't say Logan
didn't do that. Logan gave you a movie that's like,
blam,
fuck it all.
Yeah, but that's the end of that. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, they actually wanted to do Logan 2.
Like, no. Yeah, no, Logan had an end.
They're
and
doing
a
another movie, and it looks like some horror film now. Yeah. Did you see the sequel to this?
To Logan?
Yes.
Oh, it's all the kids. The New Mutants. Yeah,
the New Mutants.
That's a separate comic. To be fair,
I understand. Subclause.
I worked on New Mutants.
Oh yeah,
it has nothing to do with Wolverine.
No, and also I really want to.
But
like,
doesn't it feel like it's coming out
as,
of that?
As a very,
no,
very, as a very,
I promise you,
as
it's
a very
not.
Mild tangent. I hope that I love New Mutants as a kid when I was reading the comic. It's awesome. But
we're getting into areas where I cannot comment.
I understand. Like, I am so in love with the idea that they're selling this as a horror film. I was like,
oh, that's great.
Oh my God. Yes. 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 Freshness. Like,
okay,
that's what I want to see.
That's my point. Okay. So
when it comes out, we'll have to have a talk because I want
to
hear.
I'm looking forward to it.
I have
exciting.
So many stories. I just can't share.
Okay.
Right.
Logan,
I'm very much looking
Logan
forward to that conversation.
Basically feels different to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily saying Logan was fantastic. I really liked Logan.
Right.
But I'm just saying it was like, if they did Last Jedi like Logan, where it actually was like,
man, like that would blow everyone's minds. That's what I'm arguing.
But it's still possible. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think that's what we're going to get.